Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why height?
Why height?
Generally, we'll talk broadly, generally speaking here. It seems that women looking for men ask for height.
Okay, so...
where's this come from?
From my perspective,
do you need things picked up from shelves?
I'm 5 foot two. I do need things picked up from shelves. Okay. I need people to lift me on their shoulders when I'm at a concert because I can't see shit.
So it's you're just looking for advantages.
Look, I honestly think that it harks back to our little, you know, lizard procreation brain where we're like, you know, big, strong, tall, right. Good genetics. But to be honest, right, like I don't mind if a guy's my height. So I'm 5'2", right? I would and have, and I'm not heightest, right? You can be 5'2 and I'm good with it. If you're shorter than 5'2, for me, I have had an issue with it. But having said that, if it wasn't a blind date situation and I was into the person, like I don't think height would matter, right? So if it was a mate of mine who was shorter than me, who I'd been hanging out with for a while and I just fell in love with them, then height doesn't matter at all to me.
Right. But
there is that tiny little bit of me, because I went on a date with a doctor. My mum's still mad that I turned him down.
Yeah, of course.
But he was shorter than me. He was about 5 foot even. And I didn't notice because he was standing on the top of a curb and I was standing on the bottom. And then I stood up and went, oh. But he was also a beige person. So I felt okay about
Dr. Beige.
I was like,
yeah.
It wasn't just the height thing. But for me, it's not a big deal. But I do know there's a lot of women out there who are like, must be 6 foot or taller, which I think is ridiculous.
I don't know where it comes from. I'm just curious, where does this need for height come from? Is it you don't have height, so you demand height yourself?
Like, well, I don't know. Tall girls. Like, I mean, it's a very patriarchal thing, right? Mm. Like, there's a lot of tall people who want their man to be big and strong. I want to know from people in same-sex relationships whether it's like what's the preference? Like, do you care? I'm going to ask our producer because, you know,
we're gonna have
why
to...
not? Do you care, Zane, if someone is taller than you?
It is very, very rare that I meet someone who is taller than me.
Right.
Yes.
However, I will say my boyfriend is taller than me.
Yes.
There you go.
But, historically, no. Like, people are two heights. They're either tall, which is of an eye level with me, or they are short, which is shorter than me.
Yeah.
And I've never discriminated. I do not care at all.
I want to know, and we'll post this in the Ghost of Boyfriends Past Group Therapy, because I want to know what your opinion is of height and why you have it.
Yeah, it's the why. That's what I demand.
I think there's like the tiniest part of me in my okay, I'm going to be really femme now brain that kind of just wants to be like, ooh, pick me up and let me be on my tippy toes to kiss you. But if I really liked the person, I wouldn't give a shit. Like if I was Zendaya and I was dating Tom Holland, I'd be like, I don't give a shit that you're shorter than me because you're awesome. Like,
that's right.
Who
cares? You're so cute.
So cute. Man, he dances well. Anyway. That's besides the point. Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Hello.
What an interesting debate, Tom.
Hello, one. Hello, all. How do you discriminate against height? Like, you can be honest with yourself and go, damn it, I only want fellas over 6 foot tall.
Yeah, you know? Or are you a guy who wants women who are very tall?
You need a woman shorter than you.
You need to be that big spoon. Tell us. I want to know.
Yes. We demand answers. Hello, one and all, and hello, all.
We have an exciting returning guest today.
Yes,
so you may remember a few weeks ago we spoke to Angelica, who had a story go viral where she tried to go out to meet people in real life, guys, not online, in real life, and it did not go so Well,
yes, well, that's right. Not even romantic endeavors, just hello, people, I'm here in a new city, let's be friends. That was the really brief.
And so what we wanted to do was bring her back to tell us a dating story. Yes. Hi, Angelica.
Hello. Thank you. I'm so happy to be back.
Yay. We're thrilled to have you back because I have been itching to hear your story of ghosts of boyfriends past.
I can't wait to share. And that was the perfect intro because the man I'm going to be talking about is tall.
Like tall, tall? See, we accidentally do this a lot where we talk.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
We never plan which questions we're going to do, but sometimes they just work out. So look, we're going to give you a very quick rundown of the rules again. You heard them last time. They weren't super appropriate last time, but this time we need you to use an alias for the person that you're talking about. We have the don't be a dick rule, which is please don't share any information if you figure out who Angelica's talking about, because that's just rude and it ruins the party for everyone.
That's right. And there's a third rule.
No threats.
No threats on microphone, on please, mic. Angelica.
If you want to send them by mail to us, we can forward them on to the appropriate parties.
Send your threats to ghostsofboyfriendspast @gmail.com.
Don't threaten us, though. That's bad. All right. So, Angelica, where is this story starting? Take us from the top.
Ooh, I'm sweating now.
The hot seat, yes.
So I think from the top, well, I'll say I did meet this man on an app. And
everyone does every now and then.
He was tall, and I'll add my two cents to the tall answer.
Yes.
I'm initially attracted to tall men. But just as Liz said, if I meet someone or friends with someone and I really enjoy their company, then I don't really care if they're not tall.
Yeah, it's just that initial, like there's something in your brain that goes, oh, not tall, if it's a blind date situation. But if you know the person already, then height doesn't really matter.
Yes. So and I'll say that's like an awful thing about the apps, is because then you filter out people who you could have had a really great connection with.
Exactly.
But so the story starts, I'll start with, I had freshly been out of a pretty healthy relationship. And it was a relationship that I ended and was kind of excited in my mid-20s to date and, I don't know, get out there and see what I had been missing while I was in a relationship.
Yeah, don't we all? Like we get in relationships really young and then we're like, oh, I could, that's right. There's a whole like world out here. And then you get out there and you're like, oh, damn.
There's a lot of fish in the sea, but there's also a lot of trash.
Yes.
I stress that it was a healthy relationship because we had great communication. It was very emotionally safe. Good. So dating after that was kind of hard, as you will see going into this story. I'm going to call him Mr. September because I met him in September that was what I could think of. So Mr. September, I met him in September. We had a first date, drinks, very physically attracted to him, tall. On paper, him and I made sense, which I think happens a lot with dating apps, but I won't go down that rabbit hole right now. But on paper, we made sense a lot. Had similar backgrounds. We were both college athletes, close with our families, just young, active. It just resume-wise.
Yeah.
Like it connected. And we were both physically attracted to each other, which also helps. Mm-hmm. And he was very, very smitten with me. And I love to play it coy. But I was into him, but I was a little like, okay, sure. And I remember after our first date, I had a work trip the next weekend, over the weekend, and on the job I had previously, I worked like all weekends. It was an events job. So the whole weekend I'm at the event, whatever. Mm. And he would text me in the morning and say, I hope that you have a great day. Like you're going to do awesome. And then at night he would be like, I'm so excited to hear about how the day went. Like tomorrow you're going to like have such an awesome day. And like with specifics about what was planned for the next day. And I didn't even text him back because I was so busy.
Oh.
But I just loved that this man who I was so attracted to and seemed so like masculine was doing something that was just like
showing care and interest and checking in on you. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And we had only had one date and it wasn't like he was annoying me and being like, why aren't you texting me back? It was just that I hope you have a great day and not mad that I didn't respond and just
that's sweet. Just
wanted to say that
it sounds secure.
Yeah. Mm. It was very, very, it won me over.
Yes.
So that was September. Just, you know, love birds, love is in the air kind of vibe. October, we went up to the mountains with my sister for her birthday and her boyfriend and my other sister. And I remember on this trip, I was thinking, I'm going to marry this man. Because like, he was so sweet. My sister and her boyfriend at the time were fighting and like, they were coming to the end of their relationship and it was her birthday weekend and she was crying and like he was being very selfish and Mr. September was comforting her. Like he was like doing what he could to not intervene or not like overstep, but like, it was just so sweet. Like talking with her.
It's just an empathy response. That's nice to see.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll say he's not a bad person. It just ended poorly. I'll get into that, but
yeah.
we'll get into that.
Yeah, put a pin in that for now.
very thoughtful. And so I very much thought that like, this is my husband. I'm not interested in meeting anyone else ever again, ever. Mm. I'm sold. You sold.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah. My heart is going. My brain is happy. We're good here.
Yes. Like every box that I could have checked off. So then in November, we became officially dating. And I just remember like there was like nothing bad. I just had nothing bad at all to say. I was so happy. And it seemed like he felt the same way. So it was just this mutual infatuation with each other. Just maybe a red flag.
Not always. It feels really nice when people feel like they're on the same page and they're all like hearts and flowers and big like love heart emoji eyes at each other. You know, and that's not always a red flag.
And I think if those things can happen and the relationship doesn't work out, but that doesn't mean the smittenness was bad.
Yeah.
So I think there was room for wiggle. There's some wiggle room there.
Yeah. And you can tell even as I recap it, I'm still like smiley about it.
Yeah.
Like it really was like a good feeling. And I think that whenever you get excited to see a person and you feel kind of like a dog, like yep. how yeah. a dog is excited.
If you had a tail, it would be wagging.
Yes, exactly. So the fall was great, a great time for us. And then not long after we officially started dating, like a week after, I was running a marathon in the city that he grew up outside of. And it was right before Thanksgiving as well. So I was thinking, he'll come to the marathon and watch me and then go home for Thanksgiving. And then maybe like he can meet my family at the marathon and I can meet his family for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like I pitched that idea and it wasn't like enthusiastically received, but it wasn't turned down.
Yeah.
And I just kind of brush it off. Like, you know, it's okay, whatever. We'll see timing wise, like, you know, travel sucks. Not that it was far, it's a drive, but so I just kind of-
You that justify was like it. You're like, oh no, that's okay. You know, maybe it's this or maybe it's that or maybe it's the other thing. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. Like- it was the first bump, so I felt like it wasn't a huge deal.
Yeah.
But he, I did kind of like keep asking about it just because I wanted to know. And my entire family, I have four sisters and one brother, and I'm the youngest. And then both my parents and then a handful of significant others were also coming. And we had like a house, Airbnb house, in the city. And I told him, like, you can stay in the house with us. You don't have to go back to the suburbs. Like, I really, really wanted him to meet my family. And some of them he had already met, like my sister, sisters, I guess two of them.
But when you think, like, I want to marry this guy, like, you want to get him enmeshed in that family setting, right?
Yes. And I'm very close with my family. So, like, I wanted to see how that interaction was, too.
Yeah, it is important.
Yeah. So he did come, and I was worried that he wasn't going to, but he took the train from the suburbs and came with my family. We went out to dinner. That morning, most of my family ran the race. Like, sometimes marathons are broken up. Mm. There's like the half marathon on the Saturday, and then Sunday's the marathon. So most of my family did Saturday. And so they all like got drunk and just were kind of partying a little bit. And so he was doing that with them, and just, I loved it. Like, he fit in so well. It was, I just like really saw it, especially being sober that night and just watching it. I was so happy and saw it as like, this is my future.
Yeah.
Like, and I love it. And he was also like thoughtful of me and walked back with me to the Airbnb, and we stopped to get me like a bagel for the morning and stuff. And he even said like he had so much fun and was having so much fun with my family. So,
I'm telling you, when someone says, I'm having so much fun with your family, or I love your family, there's like a little part of, it's like my heart grows a size. Like, it's just such a buzz.
It is nice.
Especially if you like them. If they say they love your family and you hate them, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. And actually, just jumping back to that previous relationship that I had that was like very relatively healthy. And maybe I was the toxic one in it, but... But whenever we broke up, he said that he was going to miss my family. Yeah. And I just like, oh, that kind of makes me sad because they didn't do anything. Like, but anyway, so back now we're with Mr. September, but it's in November. And I just was like so happy. And so the next day I ran my marathon. We all went to brunch, and then his mom came to like pick him up and take him home. So I met his mom, and she had run marathons when she was younger. And I was just like, it just like makes sense. Like, you know, whenever it just all like makes sense.
It's a puzzle piece and it just like slot in there perfectly.
Yes, exactly. So I was going, where he was going was like north of the city that we were in, and I was going to my family's house that was a little south of the city, so it wasn't too far, maybe like 2 hours. And then we had lived at the time in Boston, so like north of both of those. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I was thinking I will go to meet his family after the holiday for that weekend, and then him and I will drive back to Boston together. And during that week where we are with our families, he really wasn't communicating. And it was like a vast difference, because previously he had been sending like those encouraging messages. He every morning he would text me and say, it's a great day to have a great day. Like, if it's cold out, he'd be like, don't forget to wear your hat today. So to not really hear that much from him. And again, you justify it. He's with his family. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to be needy, but
it's a big difference. Like, he's set up an expectation and then dashed it.
Yeah. And it was starting to make me feel like, I don't know, I was starting to get anxious about it, I guess. And because it does feel like, how do I justify bringing it up? Because it is like, not like, it's just that the expectation he set was now not being met. So
yeah, and it's not, and it's difficult when it hasn't been something that you've said, I want this to happen all the time. So you're in your head, you're like, well, I can't really ask it of him because I haven't let him know that that's what I was expecting. And he just...
probably a short amount of time complicates things as well. You've only sort of been dancing around each other 3 months.
You want to be the cool girl. You never want to be the girl that's like the, hey, do you hate me now?
But it's hard to point... it's difficult to point to like a month of history and say, hey, for a full month this was happening, instead of like 6 months or a year or whatever. So that,
And it was like a fast relationship that I think I am putting the months just to like demonstrate the quickness that it progressed. And we lived a little over a mile from each other and walking, like a walking mile. And I worked right, the building I worked at was the stop of the train that he took into work. So it was like, we just, our lives were so easily intertwined that I don't know, it maybe was too much for him, but that wasn't really communicated, or kind of was. Well,
yeah, when someone's being that forthcoming with that many messages, if they're feeling funny about it, that's not authentic communication, is it?
I'm at with my family, and I'm just kind of like, I love my family, I have such a great time with them, so many of us, that I'm feeling sad that I'm not hearing from him, but also I'm just enjoying the time with my family. So it comes down to like maybe the Friday before that weekend. And I still wasn't sure if I was going to his house or not. And I just needed to know logistically, am I going home with my sister or am I coming with you? And I honestly like think that he invited me. I went to his house. I think though he did it because he felt bad. And he didn't know how to say no.
Right.
Or like communicate that it was too much for him. And I don't think I made it easy because I was so excited and I wasn't feeling the need to slow down. So I don't think I made it easy in that sense of like, I was just really excited. I wanted to meet his family.
Yeah.
And be friends with them just as much as he liked my family.
Yeah.
So I did go for the night. I accidentally got very drunk at dinner and blacked out.
Oh no, oh dear.
I love the accidentally getting too drunk is such a good move. It's an accident.
You know, like I was nervous.
It's anxiety.
Yeah, I had anxiety about our relationship. I was nervous about meeting people, like, and his parents were so nice. And as soon as we got there, I brought them beers from this brewery from where my family was. And they cracked them open right away and poured me a beer. And like, it was just like, oh, what can we get you to drink? And it just fed into it. And then I was probably drinking too fast. And mind you, a week earlier, I had run a marathon. So I was probably also just like still deficient in
nutrients.
and a lightweight. So I don't think anything was awful with his family. But when we got back to the house, I almost said his name.
That's okay. We can bleep if you do, but Mr. September.
Yes, Mr. September. We were hanging out all in, like, I think their living room. I don't really remember. But he said that I just excused myself and went to bed. And we were staying in separate rooms, a rule of his parents, which is fine.
Look, I'm of the, if you're under 20, separate rooms. But once you get over 20, like, that's silly.
Yeah, I think that it was just weird, especially because I would have liked to have the comfort of him with me.
Yeah, when you're in an unfamiliar location, like...
Yeah, and the weekend earlier with my family in the Airbnb, we, of course, shared a room. It was no question.
And you need to debrief after family stuff. Like, you need that time to debrief and chat.
Yeah, so apparently, though, I got sick, and there was a bathroom connected to the room I was in, which is good, but probably not. I blacked out, so I'm not even totally sure what happened. But I think I got sick and like was crying, and I think he came to say goodnight to me, and then like I was sick and crying. And, like,
oh no!
All of the anxiety that I was trying to push down. Now I'm like getting emotional, but just that feeling of like finally it comes out.
Yeah, comes out out of your eyes, out of your stomach. All of it.
Everything. Yeah, nothing's inside anymore. So it was just a lot, and I think he like cleaned the bathroom and like kind of just put me to bed, and then we talked in the morning. But I don't think I actually said anything about how I was feeling. I think I was just probably crying. And then in the morning, his parents were so nice and they had like breakfast spread. And I don't even think they knew that I got sick. If they did, he would have told them, but I can't remember if he did or not, but cause it was like the bathroom within the room I was staying in. So, but yeah. And then we got in the car and drove back to Boston. And it was a fine drive. It was a little awkward, which I don't know exactly why. I think I'm a big social media person and I like my phone, and it was a long drive and he didn't want to share the drive. He drove the whole way, which is okay. It was his car. But I was going to look at my phone, and I think it annoyed him a little bit that I was on my phone. And not totally engaged in like him. But again, I don't really know because it was never communicated to me.
Sure. And like, so, there'd still be a small amount of awkwardness from the night before where you'd be like, I don't want to talk about that, so I'll be on my phone. And he'd be like, I think we should talk about that, but she doesn't want to, so I'm just going to sit here in silence.
Yeah. Well, and actually it was probably the opposite. I would have loved to know what I did, but I didn't want to push him or make him feel uncomfortable about, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know those people who, like, don't want to tell you things? Like, I'm of the belief that clear is kind. That's Brené Brown. She's, like, a speaker and love author.
Her. Love yeah. her.
Yeah. Like, clear is kind. Just tell me straight. What did I do? Like, I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened.
Did he know that you didn't know what happened?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And because he was so big that anytime we would go out or like to parties, I would get very drunk because I would end up like going drink for drink with him.
Always a mistake. I've done that before with very large, tall, athletic men, and I cannot match people drink for drink.
He weighed over double how much I weigh.
Yeah.
So like, going drink for drink was like not...
possible.
unrealistic. So he knew that when I would drink a lot that I would black out. That is an awful blacking out is awful. I do not recommend it, but sometimes it happens, and you know, so like he knew that, and he knew that I would get sick. And also the next day after being with his family, I didn't feel well. I was hungover. So like, I also don't really want to be like just singing to Grease. I loved it. He was singing to Grease, but like I can't jump in with Sandy's parts because I feel sick.
My head is vibrating.
Yeah. So that was that. And we went home and went to work, and then that's when things like really started going down. And Now that I'm retelling it, I really don't know if it has to do with like me getting sick at his parents' house. It could have. If they are the type to have you sleep in separate rooms as adults, they might be a little judgmental in that sense. My family is definitely not. Like, we want everyone to just have a good time. And, you know, if you get sick, that's okay. Yeah. It's awful, but understandable.
Yeah.
So what changed? Yeah. What changed between you? What that you obviously recognized something at the when you got back to your respective lives. You recognized a change.
Yes. What changed was he wanted to see me less, which we weren't even seeing each other that much. So it was like maybe once during the week we would see each other, and then on the weekends and. Prior to in the fall, I was doing a lot of weekend events. And then after November and winter on, I had a break until the spring. So I was really looking forward to spending more time together because I was traveling a lot and like super busy with work and events that I thought this is a great time that now we can spend more time and get closer. Where I theorized that he thought kind of the opposite needed space, which I mean, I guess he did ask for, but it was in a way of like, I'm busy and it's interfering with my routine during the week, not anything to do emotionally needing space.
Which so, you then justify in your head as he's busy and I'm being needy, right?
Yes. Yes. And then it's like, I have to downplay or discredit my own emotional need because when I bring it up and I am a squeaky wheel. So if I'm like uncomfortable, and especially at this point, I was like, you know what, we're dating. It's not like a situationship. It's you're my boyfriend and you don't want to see me. It just feels weird. And even I remember one night, and again, I worked very close to where he lived. Like our lives were not far from each other. So, I said like, well, do you want to just do dinner? We don't have to do sleepovers. Like that's fine. We can just get dinner or, you know, see each other for an hour or two. But he didn't want to do that. So I don't know if this is like the little demon in my head, but I started thinking that he was seeing someone else because I was just trying to justify it.
Well, that's where your mind goes. Like if someone's gone from talking to you all the time and wanting to spend all the time with you to suddenly not wanting to spend time with you, but they haven't communicated that there's something wrong with the relationship, you're like, well, who are they spending their time with?
Yes. Yeah, that is how I felt. But I did also think, well, you know, he did invest a lot of time early on and maybe it wasn't realistic with his routine, and like kind of explaining it away in that sense. But either way, so we started seeing each other less and I didn't like it. And I was trying to communicate that I didn't like it. And then every time we would see each other, we would talk about it. And so it wouldn't be like fun. And it just started spinning into this like unproductive, like back and forth. And we weren't really fighting. It was more of just, I was trying to understand his emotional side of it. And I wanted him to tell me emotionally how he was feeling. And he was saying, just like avoiding anything about it emotionally and just saying, well, I work out in the mornings and I'm like really busy with work right now. And
he's trying to logic his way out of it. He's trying to like fact. Let's not talk about feelings. We're just going to push those all the way down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really hard time. And I also like going into the winter is just hard. And I had just spent so much time training for this marathon and so much time running that I was taking a break from working out to recover. And I don't think he really liked that because I think he liked the idea of like, oh, my girlfriend is a marathon runner. And I love running marathons, but I'm by no means one of those like runners.
Career runners, yeah.
Yeah, like I always have run my whole life, and I'll probably always run, but I like taking breaks, and I don't care to like get up at 5 a.m. to run for nothing.
No.
Why would I?
Why would anyone do that?
Sleep in and eat a donut.
Yeah.
Not.
I mean, like, I'm the type of person who I'm like, why run if something's not chasing you? So, like, I don't. Getting up at 5:30 to run is like the most foreign from me.
Yeah. And like, so I went from like training for something to then being, I don't want to do this. I'm pulling up my little notes again.
Yeah.
and I think too, like, I'm a very goofy kind of in a weird way person. And I like to be like competitive and just silly and maybe like, I don't even want to say like non-traditional, because I think a lot of people are like that, but just especially if I feel close with someone, I want to just be like goofy and make jokes. And
that's the best part of the relationship, when you can start being silly with them.
Yeah. And I would like hide and jump out at him. I just like little things that I like, I don't know, it's fun.
Yeah.
He, I think, hated it. Oh. And I think he realized, and again, I'm just theorizing because I never really got this feedback, but I think he realized on paper, I wasn't, that there was more to me than what was on paper. So like, I'm goofy, I'm kind of lazy, I'm not a meal prep person. He's very much a meal prep person. I don't really care about working out or like that.
So like, he colors inside the lines, and sometimes you're going to color outside the lines.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I understand and respect the lines, but
sometimes it's more fun to do your own thing outside those lines. Darn it.
Yeah. And like, there are no rules to life. You make up the rules. So just do what you want. And I don't know. So we just had a fundamental difference in that sense.
So your theory, Angelica, is that on the surface, a lot in common between you two, similar family, you know, a lot of, but then you sort of file down the sheet, the character sheet for both of you, and the differences start to emerge. Is that what you theorize?
Yeah, it's like an onion. If a person is an onion, the outer layers were similar and the same, but when you peel them away, our inner layers were not at all compatible. And it was hard because I had already been sold. So I'm like in the weeds of this, already thinking that I found like my perfect person and my perfect mate, but he wasn't sharing his authentic self, something we talked about in the last episode. He just wasn't sharing his feelings or like what he needed from the relationship. So it started to crumble, but all of these talks we were having, I viewed it as us trying to get on the same page. And hindsight, I think he just wanted to break up with me, but didn't know how.
Right.
And just felt, was kind of a coward about it, to be honest. And probably because he was so uncomfortable with negative feelings and expressing negative feelings, that it just wasn't ever able to be expressed.
It sounds like he was trying to push you away to make you do the deed of ending it.
And that is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So we had a rough December. Oh my gosh. And I'm going to add in here too. So December, I had gone on a trip with a group that my ex-boyfriend was a part of. But it was a huge group. And I knew he was going to be there. I'm a no contact post breakup person.
Same.
I
think that preach.
The best, regardless of feelings for each other, at least for a little bit.
Yes.
Like maybe after years down the road, you can be friends, but I don't think you can jump into that. So I knew he was going. I told Mr. September, I'm going on this trip and I just want you to know my ex is going to be there. He did not like that, but he wasn't like toxic about it. He just like didn't want to talk about it and like didn't like it. So I was like, again, not being able to talk about feelings. So, and on that trip, after drinking and being out, my ex chased me down the sidewalk and confessed that he missed me and that he wanted to get back together. And I was like, still in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I'm dating my husband.
Yeah, I've met my hubby. What are you doing?
I'm married.
You're all offended.
This really is the movie in your mind romantic comedy moment, right?
It really was. And it was like this person who I have so much love for, but I knew compatibility wise we just didn't work, is telling me this. And in my head I'm like, with this seemingly perfect person that I have put on a pedestal, who is incapable of sharing emotions with me.
What a catch.
Yeah. So I was honestly annoyed. And I was like, why would you say this? Like, I'm in a relationship. I'm happy. I don't want to get back together. And that was that. And he did apologize. For the trip, I had bought something. So everyone had to Venmo me, send me money. And in his message, he said, sorry that I made things awkward.
Aww.
That was nice. But again, him and I...
Did he add extra money for making things awkward? Because I would have requested an extra 20.
I don't think he added extra money to that. But so coming back, and I hate to say it, but that also is an ego boost.
Like, of course it is. Like,
coming back, my computer is dying. Coming back, I'm like... an ego boost, and it gives me a little more confidence to even just address more of the like emotional tension.
Well, because you've got a safety net now, sort of. You've got like an ego safety net happening.
Yeah, and like I would have never gone back with my ex, but I think just the wake up call of like there are other people who will love you,
knowing your worth. Yeah, that little bit of a, hang on a minute, I'm worth someone chasing me down on the sidewalk and telling me that they're in love with me. Like, what am I doing putting up with no communication guy here?
Yes. And, okay, so it's, December, so there's, like, holiday parties. He doesn't invite me to his office holiday party and tells me no one is allowed to bring guests.
No, that seems
unlikely.
Do I believe that that is true? No.
No, but... I don't think anyone listening to this currently. All right, guys, Christmas party next Saturday. Now, remember, no wives or girlfriends. Like, no friends. You can't bring anyone. No. Like, it seems quite unlikely.
Yes. And then I had a Christmas party with the group that my ex was part of. It was a run club. So huge group and Christmas party for them. And I invited him to come with me and he was like, oh, I can't. It was on a week night. So it was out of bounds.
No, that will wreck with his routine. How dare you?
Yes. he, that day though, called me and asked me what time I was going and said, I'm at happy hour and I'll stop by.
Hour is fine on a weeknight, but
he'll pop in.
Yeah.
Guys, I wasn't even mad.
You still had those rose colored glasses firmly on your face.
I'm getting really angry.
Yeah, good.
No, it's fine. His biggest fault was that he was a coward and couldn't communicate his feelings. And leaving it to me to make all the decisions. To me, the person who wanted to be in the relationship to decide that it wasn't working. So fast forward a little bit, not really, just January.
This is a whirlwind. I'm loving it.
Yes. So we're still doing a lot of the communication talks and in my mind, we're trying to make it work or like trying to get past this hump. And I'm also justifying it as like, okay, well, you know, we're out of the honeymoon stage. Of course, like when life settles down and routine starts again, it gets, there's going to be tension. Now looking back years later, there shouldn't have been, never put up with that much tension, but at the time when you're in it and like so heavily sold, the rose colored glasses are thick. So, so we were going to a friend of his, their party, and I knew a couple of his friends, but I didn't know this friend group, a lot of them. So we go together. The next day I was doing a road race, but it was like a silly, I didn't care about it. Yep. So I was like, it's fine. And it was like in our neighborhood, so I wasn't worried about it. And at the party, I'm just talking to people, like I'm trying to make friends, like in, I view a perfect partnership or like a good partnership of when you're at a party, you can be separate and mingle, but you still feel like you can look across the room and make eye contact, and then it's okay. Like you don't have to be glued at each other's side. And I forgot to say this about the Run Club Christmas party that he last minute decided to come to. He got mad at me after because of, I wasn't paying enough attention to him, and he felt like that I didn't want him to be there.
That is such a red flag. Like yeah, that is when sucks. People get cranky at you for invite. Like he, no, I'm not going to expand upon that. I'm just going to say, you know what? No.
And I'll tell you, the conversation he got mad about was between me and now Olympic medalist and her sister. And we were just talking and he got mad and was like, I want to leave.
Oh my God. What a man child.
Very poor. Very poor.
So that was the most emotion that I got from him though.
Yeah, you would have been happy.
I mean, you're like, well, at least I know.
Yeah, I kind of felt satisfied. Like, oh, I'm kind of glad that you're mad because I didn't think that you even cared at all.
Isn't it like messed up when we get into a relationship and that we end up being happy that someone's mad because it shows that they care? Like, how brainwashed are we by that point? And I've been there. It's like, oh, so you haven't shown any emotion and now you're showing a negative emotion and I'm happy about it?
Yeah, it really is awful. Weird. And I think that is like just manipulation, like
absolutely.
101.
Absolutely.
I'm getting red talking about this.
That's okay. I sense from the story that the relationship is on its last legs. You get into January.
Yeah. And I think I'm getting mad at like my younger self, but you know, you can't fault her. She was doing her best.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I get mad at him. I'm sorry. Right, yeah. Redirect that anger away from younger you and get mad that someone was treating you that way. And yeah.
Yeah. So we go to this party. It's his friends at their house, still walking distance with everything in our like neighborhood. And I'm talking with one of his friends in another room and we're like getting, I forget even what we're talking about, but we're just like vibing. And he texts me, I'm going to leave. And
that's so manipulative.
Luckily I saw my phone. And when I'm talking to people, I don't look at my phone, at a party. So I saw the message and I was like, oh, I'm like, excused myself. And I was like, are you still here? Did you leave? Where are you? And he was in the room with all the coats and he was like, yeah, I'm just going to go. And I was like, well, let's leave together. Like, do you want to come to my apartment? I'll come to yours. what do you, and he's like, no, I think like, you should go home. Like your race is tomorrow. And I had already expressed, I did not care about this run.
You're going to wake up to put lace on your joggers and hit the street.
It's a fun run to you.
It was a very much a fun run. Like a lot of people in my club were doing it. It was just for the social aspect of it. It was not, And it was just making me mad that he was telling me my decision and not saying that it was anything he wanted. It was like, you have to go because of this.
Anything to deflect talking about what he wants, needs, or feels. I'll dictate your emotions to you, but not to me.
Yes. And I was getting very frustrated. And then I said, okay, I'm leaving. And I left. I walked out. And he did run down the sidewalk and chase me. And in that moment, I was like, thank God. Like,
yeah.
Like, I get... Again,
a reaction. He isn't a robot.
Yeah, like, and feeling satisfied in a negative space is so weird. And now, I mean, hopefully, like, years later, I hope that I've moved away from that at least a little bit. But I just feel so bad for me in that moment, because I really was so happy that he chased me, because I just thought, like, he cares. Yeah, he won't just let me walk out. And so we're talking on the corner of the block, and I'm like, well, do you want to just come back with me? And I don't even remember why I like thought of this question, but I was like, do you see a future with me? And he said, no.
What? I
laughed a little.
I want to applaud you for asking that question, because that is so important and so authentic. But just to get the no, after someone's chased you down the street.
And like, what are you doing? What have you been doing the past? Like, once you realized no, I'm assuming it was in November when I met your family, but I don't know when. But like, once you realize no, what are you doing? Why are you... Yeah, like,
so many people do this and I don't understand it. Like, they know that there's like, my ex stayed with me for probably about a year and a half after he realized there was no future, even though I said to him, I would like to get married one day, and if you don't, please let me go. And he didn't. And then when I was like, did you ever see a future? He's like, no. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, why? Yeah.
Like, why? As soon as you don't see a future, and I know it's hard, like, the previous relationship I had been in, I was the one who ended it, and it is difficult when you love someone and to say, I love you, but I don't see a future with you. It's a hard conversation to have, but you have to, like, respect the other person. And, like,
I think that's the key. It's the lack of respect of the other person that ends that those circumstances are in.
So on the street corner, he gave you an answer of no. Was that it?
Yeah.
Did that kill the relationship then?
Yes.
Yep.
I just want to tell the story, though. I got mad because I said, like, what are you doing? Like, why you were just waiting for me to lose my mind? Like, what? And just gradually pulling away until I, like, had no choice but to break up with you. Like, and so I said, okay, like, then this is over. Then there's nothing more here. And I turned around and walked away and sobbed the entire way home.
Of course. Did it start raining as well? It's like a movie moment.
Yeah. Too bad there wasn't TikTok.
Yes.
And like, I was devastated because in my mind, I was still trying to like salvage the earlier person that he had been, and I really didn't understand where that person went. So anyways, a little thing called love bombing I've learned about.
Yes. Yes.
But so I sobbed all the way home, and in my mind I still really didn't know if it was over. Like, I was kind of still expecting him to show up the next day at the race and like us talk about it. And again, like my previous relationship, we had such good communication that like we never would have left something on that note. So like, I just wasn't sure. It wasn't completely over in my head, even though I said this is over, but in my mind it wasn't. So, the next day he doesn't show up. I cry the entire run that I'm running. My friend runs with me.
This is like, not a fun run anymore. It's a sad run.
I'm like, each corner we passed along the way, because it was in our neighborhood, yep, I'm looking and I'm waiting and thinking, did he bike? Like, is he on this corner? Where is he? Didn't show up. Didn't hear from him. And then later in the day, eventually I think I sent him a message or something. And I said, like, can we talk or what? Like, that we drunkenly broke up and now that's it.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, you broke up with me.
Oh, dear.
I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no threats.
This was past tense. I mean, this was a threat in the past.
This is past
that
you. This is not a current threat. Yeah. The lawyers are saying it's okay.
Very good.
Okay. The thumbs up. They agree.
Yes.
He, in the past, deserved a punch in the face. But so we talk on the phone. It feels like nothing. Like, it was no emotion from him. It was kind of just
full,
like,
robot mode.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I was sharing everything that I was feeling, and he was kind of just like listening and maybe, I can't even remember what he said. And that's how much he said. Like,
yeah,
it was nothing that was really satisfying, except for that I knew it was over.
Yeah.
But in my heart, it was not. And then I kind of was a little crazy, and for the next like 2 weeks was like texting him. It might have even been longer, but I'm trying to think of like timeline. It was right before the pandemic, so this was early February we broke up, and the day that we had our conversation was the Super Bowl, which is like the American football like championship.
Well, look, thank goodness that you didn't get locked down with him, because that would have been a real bummer. That would have been worse than being alone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. I don't. And he definitely wouldn't have broken up with me then, because what else would he have done?
So can I ask, this whole saga that only lasted a couple of months,
right? It's a 4 or 5 month saga.
This is years worth of conflict into a couple of months. What do you think, and it can be nothing, because sometimes we don't learn anything from these situations. What do you think you learnt from this relationship?
Great question. I think like there are honestly a lot of takeaways. Like, I was so naive to just think that because I had a healthy relationship prior that everyone communicates well and like, and that everyone is thoughtful. So I think my big takeaway is it takes time to get to know somebody. And like, even though all of those like great stuff at the beginning are so great and will make you fall, it's important. I did not coin this term, but I heard it somewhere. But making sure that somebody is treating you like the stranger you are at the beginning and doing the same. So not getting overly invested so early on, because it is a stranger. You are getting to know each other. And the idea of on paper, sometimes it might make sense, but if you can't be silly, if someone doesn't really like you at your core, then it's not going to work.
And I think you've kind of crossed over into one of my lessons, because my lessons were twofold today. And my first one was, don't race to the end in a relationship. Like, when you first meet someone, we like to let our brains go all hearts and flowers and white picket fence and, you know, walking down the altar and everything like that. But in the same, you know, vein as you got to treat someone like you're still getting to know them, like they're a stranger, don't race too far, because when you race to the end and you form that picture yourself, it is so hard to see anything but that picture, and you miss so much because you're just staring at the picture of the life that you want. And by the end, when you break up with them, you're not even grieving the person, you're grieving the life that you thought that you were going to have. Like, it's not it wasn't real and you made it in your head. And my second is communicate your expectations. So if you feel like someone is starting to neglect you or not meet up with what you want in a relationship, do what Brené Brown says. Be clear to be kind. So make sure that you, you know, if you're like, hey, we haven't seen each other, what's up with that? You know, force people to tell you. Well, don't force them. That's pretty bad.
That's right.
But communicate your truth so that other people will communicate theirs is what I want to say for that. What about you, Tom?
I would say with that too is like communicate your truth and don't have an expectation that you need to hear it back. Just give them the opportunity to give it back.
Yes,
but if they don't, rely on the piece within that you were authentic and you communicated.
Yeah.
And
because silence is an answer.
Yes.
Silence is definitely an answer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mine's not a lesson this week, but I will raise the point of men being unable or poorly communicating, sharing their feelings. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know how to help this. All I'm doing it is broaching it as an issue to everyone in the studio today and everyone listening at home. I'll bounce around a men's forum or something, and a lot of times there'll be a huge response to what do men want more. We want to be able to talk and share emotions, share our feelings. We want that as a subset, you know, of the human race. So what's stopping it? I don't know.
And maybe I'll give you guys my ex's contact, and you can ask
we can ask him.
Why, man? Why?
But historically, men haven't been able to open up. We've been closed off. We have to be stoic, we have to be strong,
logical.
We have to be that logical, all those things. Helpful, we want to be helpful at the drop of a hat. So I try and open up, I try and be share and as an emotional guy, it's still hard.
Yeah.
It's still hard for us to do. So I don't know, everybody, keep that in your hearts going forward, that there's men in your life that want to open up, they want to share, but there's difficulties in doing that. I don't know if that comes. I mean, it's easy to go, oh, you women, you're so. And obviously, there's loads of lovely, supportive women out there. But it's going to happen. It will happen that we will get called pussies. We will get called, you know, we will get physically, we will get spoken down to. So we need to fix that. I don't know. There's no solution.
I just think there is nothing stronger than seeing a grown man cry, to be honest, because it takes a lot in this terrible patriarchal society that we have to be able to put your emotions on your sleeve. And I actually think that's super strong to be able to communicate that.
I actually agree with that. I think that it's like a very, not to say like crying is sexy, but like when a guy especially who is like characteristically masculine to be very honest and mature about communicating his feelings.
Yeah.
It's very hot.
We don't want to say it's hot when you cry, but also it's hot when you show your emotions. We like the fact that you're being vulnerable and allowing your authentic self to show up.
Yeah. But I will say, and I don't mean to like go on a tangent with this too, but I learned some men do use that inauthentically and will share things that they actually don't really care about, but as a way of faking for connection.
I think that humans do that. I don't think that's gendered. Yeah. Like, I think there's a lot of people who will manipulate you with stories and
that's
emotions.
True.
But
that's true too.
Yeah,
I guess I only see it in men because I only date men. But yeah.
Look, there's I'm a strong advocate for men's health. There's a reason we kill ourselves the most, right? As a populace, I know it's grim and no one likes to hear it, but it's true. So we do need to, yes, men talking to you. We need to open up more. We need to share more. Everyone else, we need to figure out how to let that happen more. Encourage it.
I don't know. If you're a guy sitting at home, tell one person something that you feel this week. That's all. Just one person, something little that you feel. Even if you're a girl who doesn't like communicating things, just tell one person something that you feel this week. Anyway, look, thank you so much for coming back and joining us again, Angelica. It has been an absolute treat. I hope that everybody at home learned a few things today, as we did here in the studio. If you'd like to be a guest, you can go to ghostsofboyfriendspass@gmail.com and drop us a line, or thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast.
Yes, jump on our Facebook group. That's where a lot of stuff happens, like earlier, before these episodes. Jump in early with like-minded people. It's a Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy, is that little group. Otherwise, please rate the show, share the show. Someone will get a kick out of it. Someone will get benefit out of it. Not just enjoyment, help, actual help.
And we want your mini-sode stories as well. So if you don't want to be a guest, but you've got a story to tell, write it in. Even if you dot point it, we'll make it sound eloquent and amazing for you. Thank you again, Angelica. It's been great speaking with you. And as the final word of this show, I would just like to remind everyone, don't race to the end. Relationships are not a marathon. They're not a sprint. They're not anything of kind of a race. Make sure that you just like pace yourself when you start dating.
When you walk through an art museum, what happens?
You see some interesting things, you see some not so interesting things, and if you're like me at all, you're probably a little bit sleepy.
Well, grab a cafecito and listen up. It's Art Slice, a palatable serving of art history.
I'm Russell Shoemaker.
I'm Stephanie Duenas. We are not your daddy's art history podcast. We are both artists, so we look at art history through that perspective. We cover the artists you know and those that have been ignored for so many different reasons.
We look at the context of the time, we compare it to today.
We don't dumb anything down, but, and this is a big but,
hey-o,
we like to have a good time, okay? Nos gusta to goof around, all right? We have hungry pantry moms that might startle you. It's a long story.
We feed them art materials. Art is just a visual language, so in order for us to interpret what we think it's saying, we hijack the work.
Right. How do you like that for an art heist?
Exactly. And ultimately, we decide if it belongs in our Art Slice Museum on top of the Art Slice Hilltop.
So if this all sounds good to you, join us on Art Slice. A palatable serving of art history.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.